Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Türk Telekom 2011 Q3 Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode until we conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference today, please press star, then zero on your telephone. I would just like to remind you that this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to hand over to the Chairperson, Ömer Öz, Investor Relations Officer. Please go ahead with your meeting, and I'll be standing by.
Good afternoon, good morning, and good evening if there's anyone joining from Asia, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ömer Öz. I'm Türk Telekom Group Investor Relations Officer. Welcome to Türk Telekom's 2011 Third Quarter Conference Call. Before proceeding with the call, I'd like to mention that this presentation contains financial information that is reported under CMB IFRS, and financial information in it is unaudited. We invite you to read the complete disclaimer included in the first page of the presentation. Without further ado, let me turn the call over to our Group CEO, Mr. Hakan Kanafani.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Another successful performance in Q3. I will go directly into the presentation. If you look at page three, we are very happy with our successful performance on all and the different business segments. We believe that the nine-month results are promising for the full year, and we do confirm our increased revenue guidance that we have done lately. Overall, on the fixed voice side, Q3 is stable with Q4 2009 levels. It's driven by our continuous success of bundled tariffs introduced in 2010. On the ADSL side, again, strong performance. We continued our revenue growth and our subscriber gain. We launched new enhanced ADSL packages and continued to offer higher quotas and better speed to our millions of customers. This is one of our differentiating propositions. We are offering the capacity and the speed, and this is our value-added proposition. On the mobile side, we are excited about Avaya's performance as well. In the third quarter, despite the very difficult competition in Turkey, our revenues have increased 20% year-on-year. Our EBITDA margin, Avaya's EBITDA margin in particular, is at 14% in the quarter. This is driven by subscriber gain and ARPU growth. Let me note here that this is the third quarter of increased ARPU, and definitely our blended ARPU today, again, like last quarter, is the highest in the market. I think this is a great achievement by a third operator. On the regulatory side, the Telecom Authority have announced the fiber decision. This was only, I think, a week or two ago. This is about fiber to the home and fiber to the building investment. The regulator, the Turkish regulator, says that these investments will be excluded from market analysis for a certain period of time, 5 years, or I think 25% of broadband subscribers are on fiber. We are currently reviewing our commercial plan in this area and next steps for Türk Telekom Group. Okay, on slide four, ladies and gentlemen, we have our consolidated performance. If you look at our consolidated revenues, they have increased by 12% to almost 9 billion lira in the first nine months. We have double-digit revenue growth both in fixed line and mobile businesses. Our consolidated EBITDA margin is stable with last year and in line with our guidance. Again, we've achieved EBITDA increase in both fixed line and mobile. Consolidated operating profit has increased by 11% to 2.6 billion lira. Due to the Turkish lira depreciation against the USD, we have some, the FX losses had a negative impact on the net income, however. During the quarter, we increased our full-year revenue and CapEx guidance on the back of strong growth in fixed and mobile. In line with our revised revenue and CapEx guidance, we continued our investments, of course, to support Türk Telekom Group's growth. Thank you, and I would like to hand over to Türk Telekom CEO, Mr. Gökhan Bozkurt, for the fixed line business update. Gökhan Bey.
Thank you, Hakan Bey, and hello, everybody. I'm very proud to say that we had a strong performance in the fixed line business in the third quarter. Moving on page six, we start with the fixed line business voice segment. In the quarter, we introduced new innovative brand partnership programs for our millions of PSTN customers. We work with the leading brands in daily life to create benefit and loyalty programs. And we will launch new partnership and loyalty programs in the coming quarters for fixed line customers. We continue to gain subscribers in the Home Advantage bundle voice packages. Now almost 50% of our PSTN base in bundle packages over 7 million lines. This year, we started offering our bundle voice customers free minutes to all directions, including mobile and international destinations. We extended this campaign until the year end. In addition, we continued our 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. free on-net call offerings. Share of fixed fee in the PSTN revenue now increased to 68%. Overall, we continue to do micro-segmentation. These efforts target specific segments like villages, housewives, etc. We also concentrate on SMEs and corporates. Now, on the next page of 7, we look at ADSL initiatives. Overall, ADSL business is growing with increased subscribers and revenues year over year. We have reached 6.8 total ADSL wholesale connections and recorded about 100,000 net subscriber additions. This success is a result of our improving infrastructure and service quality as well as enhanced products and services. Our retail ISP TTNet launched a new bundle offer in the quarter. Customers can now get fixed internet, mobile 3G internet, and free Wi-Fi access on a single bill. We offer limited and unlimited fixed internet on top of 4GB limited capacity for 3G. TTNet also launched a new campaign offering new subscribers free internet as a trial. Customers can try our internet and become a committed subscriber after 2 months. The good thing is that the number of subscribers and usage are increasing. TTNet's up to 8 MB packages are now at 88% of its subscriber base, and the unlimited packages are at 58% of the base, increasing from 45% last year. The average monthly data usage increased by 63% year over year, and now at 20 GB. Fixed line. On the next slide, page 8, we have fixed line revenue and EBITDA margins. On the revenue side, we see that third quarter 2011 revenue figure of 2.3 billion Turkish lira is 11% higher compared to last year, thanks to strong increase in ADSL international revenues. International revenue includes Pantel business, which we acquired last year. Pantel is a leading capacity and data provider in Eastern and Southern Europe. The fixed line EBITDA is also up by 6% year over year, with margins staying over 50%. On a 9-month basis, fixed line EBITDA increased 10% with 52% EBITDA margin. Moving on next slide, page number 8, we now look at ADSL highlights. The wholesale ADSL connections are now at 6.8 million. We were able to gain net 300,000 subscribers in the last 12 months, a 5% increase year over year. We believe there is a still good growth potential for penetration compared to European average. On ADSL average revenue per subscriber side, we have a slight decline from the previous quarter as new subscribers in the trial package negatively impacted ARPU. We achieved 14% year-over-year ARPU growth thanks to strong upselling. We increased prices for unlimited packages in the beginning of 2011. Moving on page 10, when we look at the PSTN highlights, we see that total access line loss is in line with last year's levels. bundle packages and mass campaigns supported churn management. Naked DSL introduced this year and reached 160,000 lines. It's a good growing opportunity for ADSL. With Naked DSL, we can reach niche segments that do not have PSTN. On the back of our successful home advantage offers, PSTN ARPU stayed flat. On page 11, we have headcount details for fixed line. As you see on the left side chart, 25,700 employees at fixed network operating unit only. Personal cost as a percentage of revenue remains at 20% levels. Access lines per employee remains about 600 in line with the last year. That's the update on fixed line business. Now I'd like to hand over to Kadir Boysan, our Chief Strategy Officer, for the mobile business update.
Hello, everybody. Now we are on slide number 13. For Avaya, 2011 third quarter has been another solid performance. We have improved critical indicators despite the ongoing aggressiveness in the market. Overall market remained very dynamic as well as aggressive in terms of tariffs, channel incentives, and advertising spend. In this context, we continue to improve the competitiveness of our offering. We renewed our tariff set and targeted campaigns specifically for postpaid, as well as introduced new prepaid packs. Segmented need-based offers in data have been launched. This is giving us sustainable data revenue growth. We also actually extended our device campaigns, including smartphones. In parallel, we continued our transformation. Now we roll out more than 5,000 base stations in this year so far, exceeding 20,000 in total. Channel transformation is also progressing well. Footprint expanding, exclusive dealers now around 900. Our penetration at sub-dealers improving, and that is specifically important for our prepaid business. And about 300 out of this 900 have new designs in place, and that's improving. We will continue to increase the numbers. And it's not only the footprint and the numbers increasing, we're also improving both in-store service as well as the location of the service, combined with the window of dressing and merchandising. Final but not least, we are also capturing the headlines and the heart of customers through our consistent and distinctive TV commercials. Now let's go through some of our KPIs. Moving on to next slide, slide 14. Our revenue growth continues with another record at 816 million Turkish lira, which brings us to 800 million mark for the first time. This also means revenue growth, 8% revenue growth quarter on quarter. Despite the fierce competition, our EBITDA margin is at 14%, up 5 basis points versus last quarter. And our nominal EBITDA contribution to the group is standing at 114 million Turkish lira. Moving on to next slide, slide 15. Year-on-year ARPU growth has been 11%, and quarter-on-quarter is 4%, which is mainly driven by increasing postpaid customers as well as data and roaming revenues this quarter. And looking at the segmented figures, postpaid ARPU at 36.6, 5% up versus year ago, prepaid 11.1, 6% up versus year ago. Moving on to the next slide. We grew our total subscriber base to 12.5 million, up around 10% compared to the same period last year. And the growth was particularly strong in the postpaid segment, adding about 1 million subscribers over the last year. As the mix is changing in favor of postpaid customers, we continue to experience MOU increase. It also underlines the effectiveness of our flat rate minute packages for all directions as well as on-net minutes. As a result, our quarter three MOU was 313 minutes. That sums up the AVEA summary, critical. And now I will pass the microphone to David for the financials.
Thank you, Kelly. Okay, so if we go to slide 18 in the pack, you'll find the FISA financials, which is the consolidated P&L, which Hakan Bey spoke about earlier. And what you can see there is, as was said earlier, our revenue year-to-date has grown 12%, of which the organic, i.e. excluding the Pantel acquisition, was about 9.5%. The operating profit, and I focus on operating profit rather than EBITDA, went up 11%, so it shows the strong performance around the company's operations. As I can say that right at the beginning, obviously when you go down to our net income, we have the impact of the FX, which runs against the whole of Turkey this year by about 20% with the dollar to euro. But as an operating unit, strong growth, operating profit growing more or less the same as revenue growth. If we turn to the next slide, the balance sheet. I suppose on this one, the big thing to note there that people will notice that net debt has increased, but about half that net debt increase is in fact FX. So it's a change of the dollar value in lira. Most of the other reason for the increase is a good news, which is we paid a lot more dividend this year than we did last year. If we look at slide 20, the next slide on the summary cash flow, as we've said every quarter since we IPO'd, this business generates strong cash flow. About 30% of our revenue comes out as operating cash, which then funds our CapEx investments and our dividend payback to shareholders. As we always say, come the next 2-3 years, the CapEx level will decline, which will give more potential to pay dividends and potentially even to pay loans back if necessary. When we go to the next slide, slide 21, on the consolidated revenue, what you'll notice here, if you look at the charts on the right-hand side, is our fixed voice, or PSTN, has reduced from 40% of our total revenue down to 33%. So now only a third of our business is in fixed voice. And the reason that's important is because fixed voice is not a growing revenue source for telecom companies around the world nowadays. And so what we're doing is moving into the growth areas. If you look at the mobile ADSL, it was 48% of our total revenue. It's now just over half our business. So over half our business is now driven by high growth businesses, ADSL mobile growing around about 20% per annum. The other thing we will tell you is the other revenue, because sometimes we get asked this, the two main items there, the growth, that growth from 107 million to 169 million year on year, year to date, half of it is because of the call center revenue, our company Assist DT, which won some major contracts this year, and the other because of our IT subsidiaries. And that shows good growth coming through from all those investments we've made over the last 2 to 3 years. On the next slide, when we talk about OPEX, slide 22, what we can see here are the domestic interconnect growth around about 10%. In fact, all of that is coming from mobile. In fact, you'll see later the fixed interconnect actually drops because of the MTR cut of last year. On the international interconnection, that's all driven by the Pantel acquisition. So that's the good news. That's linked to the big revenue growth from Pantel. And on the commercial front, this is mainly impact because of the mobile price war. That doesn't mean it's pure mobile, but even on the fixed side where we've invested more in commercial, it's in part result of the mobile price war that's going on here in Turkey. Now if we look at the fixed line business on slide 23, what we see here as Gökhan mentioned earlier, is strong revenue growth, 11% overall, about 7.5% of that organic, about 3.5% through the Pantel acquisition. But continuing strong profitability. Operating profit is still around 41-42%. So the growth is coming with high profit, so it's high profit growth that's coming through in the business. If we now look at the revenue of fixed line on slide 24, what we see here is the overall revenue 11%, but what you see, what I mentioned overall, is a changing mix. What we're seeing is an increasing percentage coming from ADSL and from international across of Pantel, and what we're seeing is voice, which was 51% of fixed line business in Q3 of last year, is now only 45%. So now less than half of our fixed line business comes from fixed voice, which is something you'll see in most telcos that people are moving away from the fixed voice area. If we then turn to the OPEX slide, which is slide 25 of the fixed line, what we see here, as Gökhan mentioned earlier, personnel costs, although they're increasing no more than revenue. So they stay around 20% of revenue for the fixed line, which is, 19-20%. It says 19, mathematically it's 20, rounded up. In terms of the other costs, because sometimes we get asked about that, most of those other costs are rent, utilities, outsourcing, and bill distribution. So about, and that equates to around about 70% of those other costs. So it's not a major area, it's just rent and utilities. In terms of domestic interconnection, that came down, as I said earlier, because the MTR cut for all mobile players. Mobile will see a different story. And international interconnection, as we said in revenue, this is driven by the Pantel acquisition driving those costs up. If we turn to the mobile story on page 26, the mobile story is definitely one of improving profitability, but it's at a very low level. Now, not despite aggressive competition, but because of aggressive competition. And this is a good story that we're keeping EBITDA growing in this tough market. But the top line is growing, which is even more important. And what that means is our operating loss, because we are in a loss position here, what you'll see if you look at year-to-date, EBITDA dropped from 12% to 11% year-on-year. But if you look at operating loss, it reduced from a 12% loss to a 9% loss. And that's because as we're growing the revenue base, it makes it easier to get towards an operating profit break-even point. So now it's a 20% of revenue breaking point. Last year it was 24%. And that will keep reducing as we keep growing the Avaya business top line. If you look on the OPEX slide on slide 27, we'll see there, as I said earlier, the big cost growth, as you'll see in most mobile operators when they do their reports in Turkey, is domestic interconnection, growing by 16% year-on-year, but actually in line with the revenue growth. The commercial, big growth in commercial costs, but actually in terms of revenue, it's very stable. It's gone up from 15.5% of revenue to 16.5% of revenue, so not a major increase. But that doesn't mean our commercial costs aren't very high in mobile. It's just that last year was also the middle of a price war, so they've been high now for 2 years. And this is certainly an area, when the price war ends, that all mobile operators will be able to start cutting back on commercial costs and therefore improving the bottom line. In terms of other costs, the main of that cost there, about a quarter of that is related to lease lines, another quarter around rentals, and about 15% of those other costs are utilities. So that's where we are in terms of the overall business there. In terms of slide 28 on the debt, I think the only point to note is we've moved to what we aimed, which is a mix of hard currency, 50% dollar, 50% euro, and overall, our treasury department's done an excellent job. Our average debt maturity is now just over 2 years, whereas a couple of years ago, it was well below 1 year. So based on that, I will now hand back to the moderator for a question and answer session.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. To cancel your question, please press the hash or pound key. Once again, that's star 1 to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. There will be a short silence while participants register for questions. The first question comes from the line of Hervé Druitt. Please go ahead with your question.
Good afternoon. My question is regarding the fixed line EBITDA margins. Usually in Q3, we tend to have a seasonally strong EBITDA margin in the fixed line. And this time it was less strong than what we have seen historically seasonally. I was wondering if you can give us a bit more light on...
What's the EBITDA you were talking about? It's the 50%
51, EBITDA, 51, right? Yeah, exactly. 51%. Yeah, versus 54 last year, yes. And so it's on the fixed line segment. And I was wondering, were there some one-off? It looks like, commercials and others, increase relatively significantly. Were there some one-off? And do you think what, in your view, will be the long-term trend in the fixed line EBITDA margins looking forwards?
Okay, I think the first thing we probably should say is that if you look at mobile, you get seasonality, and definitely Q3 mobile margins are always the highest. In the fixed line, seasonality is fairly limited, especially now that the fixed voice is becoming predominantly a recurring revenue business. I think as Hakan was hinting at, I mean, EBITDA is 51% compared to 54%, you know, still extremely high. But if you look at the year to date, it's 53% last year, 52% this year, it's more or less the same. So, no, there isn't a seasonality reason why things go differently. It's just the underlying business where it just slightly changes. But what we tend to like to look at, which is a better guide to what's going on, is the year to date, because it gets rid of anomalies that can happen quarter to quarter. There is nothing untoward with our results of this quarter that says there's something dramatically going wrong compared to last year. It's more or less similar.
Right. So the year-on-year decline, we see, I mean, you think it's going to stop or is it, is, or to stabilize where it currently is, or do you think there's still an erosion?
Well, what we're saying is the EBITDA margin of last year for 9 months is 53%, this year is 52%, so it's more or less the same number. What you're doing is picking Q3, which is 54% compared to 51%.
I think we took Q1,
we actually could have been said our EBITDA margins are going through the roof. Are we going to reach the level of 90%? I think, you know, you do see, and we've always seen in TT on the fixed side, variability quarter on quarter. You know, some of the issues can be, you know, what happens on our personnel? Do we take severance costs? Do we do an incentive one quarter, which can drive some costs up? Mm-hmm. There are specific things that change. I mean, you're right, commercial costs are up year on year, but to be honest, are they up dramatically? In the quarter, they're slightly up, 19% compared to revenue growth of 12%. Year to date, it's 11%. So it's the phasing of when we take the commercial costs each year. So we don't take them exactly in the same quarter.
Mm-hmm. So you are quite confident that in the fixed line business, in the medium term, EBITDA margin will remain above, relatively well above the 50%. Am I correct in saying that?
Well, as you know, what we do is we give guidance for this year on the group level, and we haven't gone beyond that. What we'll do at the early part of next year, we'll give guidance for next year. Now, if the mobile price was finished by then, we may actually even give guidance mobile fixed. But if it hasn't, we'll probably almost certainly stay to our current practice of giving guidance at the consolidated level only.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Stan Dillon from Barclays Capital. Please go ahead with your question.
Hey guys, Sam Dillon here from Barclays Capital. Couple of questions. The first, could you explain how much of the sequential increase in the mobile margins, the 5 percentage points, was due to the passing through of the prepaid spectrum usage fee? I think that happened at the beginning of August. The second question, could you provide a little color on how the MVNO operations in Germany are doing in terms of subscriber numbers mainly? Thanks.
Sorry, Sam, the second question again.
The second question was on the MVNO operations in Germany.
MVNO in Germany. Okay.
And how you're doing in terms of subscribers?
It's just to clarify, it's not an MVNO, but it's a similar enhanced distributors and sales and marketing sort of approach where we have a different model that has a lot of benefits. Arambe will answer the second question first, and then Kadir Bey will answer the first question. Kadir and David will ask the first question second.
Okay, hi, this is Arambe Demircan, VP of Marketing and Communication of Türk Telekom. Regarding the Türk Telekom mobile in Germany, as you know, we launched the service beginning of August, and the prepaid cards of about 80,000 are distributed to main distributors all over Germany, and until now about 15,000 of them are already activated, and actually maybe there's too much information, but our ARPU levels are quite good compared to Germany whole market. They get higher ARPUs. That shows that Turkish people over there like to talk.
Which is always a good sign for us. I mean, that's what we look for. I want to add that the Germany play, it's something that we want to enhance in Germany, and we want to see if we can repeat the experience in the experiment in other areas. So this is how we are looking at it. And these are the good news about this is that we don't go in with heavy capex and heavy opex. It's that you know, we have agreements where we're based on revenue sharing. We control part, they control part. So it's nice, and it doesn't cost us an arm and a leg to get into a market. And this is part of our smart expansion program, where we don't want to be in a situation where there is a risk of a big hit there or a big hit here, and also not to increase, not to enhance performance by pumping more more money. So the Germany play is, I think it's very good. I think it's very smart. And actually now we want to see how we can build on it, both inside Germany, because we have a second fund that is coming, and outside Germany and on the European side, also looking for our valuable Turkish subscribers and how we can serve them all around the world. That's the motivation and the strategy behind it. Kadir Bey, the first question.
Okay. On the first question regarding the impact, it has been limited, almost negligible, because we actually started collecting that fee in September, and so far it had limited impact. Negligible, we can say for now. But positive, obviously.
Okay, and just a quick follow-up. How much impact do you expect it to have going forward, the passing through the spectrum fee?
It depends on the elasticity of the demand. If you look at it, I mean, we can do a back-of-the-envelope calculation yourself, looking at the prepaid and active customers and see how much we can actually collect. However, as we collect that amount, that is reduced from the existing, actually, pockets of money that they allocated for communication, calls, SMS, and others. So it all depends on the elasticity, how much they can put further into their pocket for that tax that we're going to deduct.
Okay, great, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Atink Uskan from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, thank you. Two questions, actually. The first one is related to the wide recent press coverage on potential involvement of your company in government Fatih project. What is your level of engagement at this time, interest on this project, and if you decide to get involved, what will be the revenue model? Who will be your client, the ministry or the students, and what's going to be the impact on your long-term capex, i.e., is this going to trigger any last mile fiber investments? My second question is regarding roaming revenue contribution to AVEA's strong top line in third quarter. How does it compare to last year? Thank you very much.
Okay. Again, we'll ask the second question first, because I would like to take the first question. Roaming increase this season.
Does roaming revenue this year? How does it look like last year? I think more or less it's similar. But Kadir, you can probably put some color.
Yeah, it's similar. I mean, what we see is increasing roaming revenues. It's a seasonality impact, and we've been doing quite actively some roaming deals and certain actually campaigns to increase the usage. And that's broadly in line with, but there's also pressure, price pressure on that front. So it's broadly in line with last year's level, in line with our plan.
Okay, so your first question, are you talking about generally government projects that enhance the internet usage and broadband usage, or government-induced public-private partnership? Or you are talking about a specific project that you've heard about in Turkey?
I am talking about specifically Ministry of Education's Fatih project and locally built tablet PCs and introduction of fiber to Turkish schools and classrooms.
Oh, the locally built tablet. I think the discussion was taken out of proportion. We were discussing, you know, some of the avenues and some of the gates that we are knocking on the door. And any CEO like our partner and good friend Gökhan Bey will knock on every door. And we are very proud of our efforts to look at the local side of this. And, you know, and we're looking for economies of scale. We're looking for good prices, but we never close the door on anything, and this is still work in progress. But we have a very design-driven mentality about something like this, and the door is open. There's nothing final. So I wouldn't take these comments about the tablet per se more than what is intended. Now, the second part of the question is very important, because we've always said that in order to go further into the internet penetration, broadband penetration in the household and reach the 55s and the 60% that we see in Europe, we need to have more on the content side, and especially on education. The more that there is this education initiatives, the more people will find a good reason to go on the internet, and the more the internet is going to be part of the home. A lot of the things that we see today is people are a little bit hesitant about the internet because, you know, what the children might see. There's not really something that's forced on you to do it. So that layer of clients that's coming after the 35% penetration, and by the way, we're actually higher than 35% because there's a big chunk of customers are like 1 million users who are illegal users, about 250,000 subscribers or accounts. But anyway, we like these initiatives very much, and we think that these are the initiatives that we are looking for. Of course, because of our fiber strategy, because we are the biggest network in Turkey, because we have been contemplating this moment years ago, we are the ones who are best positioned to leverage such projects. There is no clarity from the government yet on some of the mechanics of the project, but I can tell you one thing, that we are going to do whatever it takes, that we are part of this project. And I don't think that this is something new. So if you look at our educational software, our content on education, today we have 200, correct me, how many on the vitamin? 250,000 paid subscribers for our vitamin, which is the Turkish curriculum that we use to help and aid the families of children and the children and the user, and we give it as part of the package of the ADSL. So this content side, especially on the educational side, we want a place in it. Also on the system, and that, I'm going to take a little bit long of time to answer, to show you that this project is not only about CapEx. It's not a project where you're going to throw a lot of CapEx in it. It requires some CapEx, but we don't want to scare our shareholders. The other thing about that is the system integration part and the building renovation part in terms of the wiring of the ADSL in all the classes. Remember, the Turkish government is very ambitious in that. They're not saying fiber to every school. They're saying fiber to every class. So this is ambitious. So there's another system integration factor. So we talked about content, system integration. And then there is the hand, the material which they use, which is the customer hardware, you know, what they put on the in the classroom to write on. There could be a digital board and all of that. So all of these are potential areas that are going to transcribe in the next 3 to 5 years. And we are, because we're an integrated operator and because our vision drove us to this point, we are positioned to cover that. Now, the main item, of course, is the fiber. Today we have the highest fiber home passes in Turkey. So we are prepared for this. Of course, there might be some last mile issues, but we are the company that's geared for this, because all of our employees, or most of our employees, that's what they do for a living. They go and they do the last mile and they check these things. This is the nature of Türk Telekom and Türk Telekom Group, which is different really than other competitors who are used to provisioning on the computer. But we go to the customer and we handle all of these things. So we are very well positioned there too. And we have the biggest fiber network in Turkey already. Now, couple that with the new fiber legislation, you will see that we have to be very smart in providing CapEx so that we make sure that we are leveraging these opportunities and leveraging the opportunity also with this new regulation. So the short answer for your question is yes, yes, and yes.
Thank you very much for this very detailed answer. I really appreciate that, Akın. Thank you.
Okay.
The next question comes from the line of Alex Kazbeki. from Resonance Capital. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, hi, it's Alex Kazwigi from Renaissance Capital. First question, I was wondering, what is, do you think, the smartphone penetration on your network? And do you think this the excise tax increase on the sales of the mobile phones, how would that affect the speed of the smartphone, so to say, sales and general proliferation on the network? Second, also related to that probably would be, if again look at the on your mobile ARPU, and if you said the roaming basically was fairly stable year on year in whatever 3Q of this year, it should be probably for the data which has been sort of say pushing the ARPU up. Could you give maybe some sort of say color on what is the sort of say data contribution or how much it changed? Whatever would be possible to give would be appreciated.
Okay. I'll take the first question about the smartphone penetration. We look at the overall market as well as ourselves, and we estimate that smartphone penetration is around 10%. And the impact of the impact of the tax increase, I mean, it's too early to say anything, but there will be some, I mean, the price will increase, but in the meantime, what we know from smartphone prices and the trend that we have seen in the last years, the price levels are coming down. There is a serious experience curve there, so it's likely not to increase the prices, but maybe slow down the decline of the handset prices on smartphone. That was the first question. Second question about the
update on data.
Yeah, update on data. Overall, our data revenues are growing really fast, quarter on quarter, month on month. And in that context, it had some contribution to overall ARPU growth, obviously. And we expect that trend to continue because with the pickup of both large screen ARPU as well as small screen ARPU, and what we see also with the actually detailed refreshment of our data packs specifically for the smartphones or the feature phones, we see a significant update on the small screen more than we see on the large screen.
I think risking David giving me a headbutt now, I want to be, again, just give you a flavor of what's happening on the market here, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very competitive market, but in particular the MNP. We have extremely aggressive MNP, and the MNP in Turkey, for one reason or the other, is one of the most successful in the world. I mean, you're talking about millions of people responding to the MNP. Usually it's because they're great offers too. So if you look at how Avaya has focused on improving the ARPU by adding postpaid subscribers, it tells you a lot of things about what Avaya is doing, because it's not simple the route they have taken. First of all, they changed the brand recognition and the brand equity and the flavor of the brand in the eyes and the minds of the Turkish people. Today we have higher affinity, more trustworthy, more believable. They have done a lot of, I think, great work in that branding. They have improved the network tremendously because they wanted to focus on, and this we started about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, when with the new management of Avaya, is how do we transform this image and how do we make use of the postpaid subscribers? So that's helping the ARPO, Alex, which is the postpaid subscribers. But bringing that postpaid subscribers, it is difficult for them because of these serious MNP. And I think with the when the first incumbent or the number one operator in terms of market share starts putting very aggressive MNP programs, you will see that the price war starts to resonate. Let's see if this improves, and in the future we will have more calm and more and smarter competition in Turkey. But we are very pleased on the traction that Avaya is taking in the market.
Okay, thank you. Can I just follow up with one as well on the mobile margins in general? I mean, they they seem to show very similar seasonality now as it was, let's say, last year. And if you look at 9 months, they're pretty much, so to say, the same number, so slightly lower, 11% EBITDA margin on the 9 months of the year. With the, so to say, seventh quarterly consecutive increase in the ARPU, should we expect the improvement of the margin sometime soon, or do you think before the competition really makes a decisive, so to say, step towards, so to say, calming down, we shouldn't really expect any improvement of the margin beyond this?
We are doing the best we can. We are growing with profitability in mind, and you'll see that in our slide. We like to do things smart. That's the difference between Turk Telecom Group companies and the rest of the world around us. And I'm being sarcastic here, but it's very important to note that it's not something that we can control, and we don't know when it will happen. What we can tell you today is that we are still facing this this point, and we were not going to see a significant shift in market until the market becomes more rational on the MNP side and on the prepaid side and that. But what Avaya's efforts are in that smart, rational scenario. Look at what we've done with the prepaid. We were the first to launch, the actual prices in terms of the prepaid, not just points. We're trying to be more trustworthy, and we're trying to be as rational as we can to serve the customer. Unfortunately, for us or for our competitors, this is not enough. We would have to see a more rational approach before we get significant increase in EBITDA margin. That's the honest answer. I would love to give you something else, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, no, all clear. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Alex Wright from UBS London. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, thank you. I have a couple of questions, please. The first one is just regarding the FX losses. You've obviously seen their earnings impacted considerably over the last couple of quarters. Do you think there's any rationale in increasing your hedging activities at this point, or do you think that it's too late or too expensive to do that? That would be my first question. And then the second question, I was wondering if you could give us some background or further detail on the reason for the delay in the Avaya EGM and what your expectation is. Do you think this will go ahead before long, and do you expect the recapitalization of Avaya to take place in the coming months? Thank you.
Okay, last question first. This is becoming a sort of a trend to answer the last question first. But look, we are still in discussions for the best outcome. It's not something that we can rush, and there is no pressure. You see, no shareholder fist fights or brawls. The company is moving with traction, and the shareholders decided they will take their time for the best discussions and for the best available outcome.
David, too late for hedging?
First question first and last. Increasing hedging activities. I think, as you know, Alex, all Turkish companies who take out dollar, euro don't hedge long term. If you do, it actually becomes more expensive than taking out a pure lira loan. As you also are aware, in the past it was very, very, very difficult to get lira loans for any long term. And a business like Turk Telecom needs long term loans, which is why we went hard currency. The only realistic hedging is cash hedging. So that's anything that's coming up in the year. Beyond that, there really is nothing that's actually a good idea. And so we live with what happens. Most years, we haven't had anything. Last year, in fact, we had an FX gain. Nobody was arguing then. We had this issue back in 2009, I think, for about 3 months. And then the exchange rate at the year end came nicely back towards the lira. And again, it was forgotten. I think it's just one of those things that's there in the market. I think we all know that. It's just one of those things that happens. Shouldn't happen, a 20% devaluation, but it has. With two weak currencies as well, the dollar and euro. It's quite amazing.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
The next question comes from the line of Vera Suteja from Erste Bank. Please go ahead with the question.
Yes, I have a question on the following up for the FX losses, actually. Now that basically the 9 month performance in terms of earnings already come down compared to last year, so the dividend, as it is 100% payout, so will come down as well, or do you expect to keep it stable? Is it possible?
Okay. Well, as you know, the dividend rules in Turkey are based on net income, so we will pay out on net income. As to what the impact will be on dividend, to be honest, we don't really know, because most, vast majority of this FX loss we're talking about is not a cash loss. It's an unrealized loss. So if the FX rate, at year-end get more favorable for us, we may have no FX loss. As I said earlier, in 2009, we had a very bad situation around June, July, where the dollar had really gone up to around about 1.8, I think, at that rate. And then by year-end, it dropped down to 155, 160 range. And so we didn't take an FX hit for the year, and it didn't impact our dividends that much. So it really depends for the dividend on what is the FX rate on 31st of December 2011. So banks are guessing somewhere between probably 2 and 1.5, I think. A lot of them around 1.64 for year-end. So, you know, if the banks have got it right for once, you know, we might not have an FX loss this year.
Okay, and back to the debt policy. So am I right to understand that you will not hedge the currency risk, so can only hedge based on the cash position?
Well, yeah, I mean, as I said before, I mean, the whole policy of why most emerging market companies go into dollar and euro is usually because there's a huge interest differential between taking out a local currency loan and a dollar-euro loan. In fact, in the past, for the lira, it used to be around 10%, the difference. Now, when you've got that differential, you know, over time, it's very unlikely you're going to get a 10% per annum devaluation. This year, we've got 20% in this year. Last year, it was almost zero. So over the 2 years, it's about 10%. In just these 2 years. It goes back 3 years, it's probably 7%. So that's why we do what we're doing. Now, hedging, if you hedge, then you might as well have not taken out a foreign currency loan. The only thing you can realistically do is cash hedging. That's the only realistic thing, but it's not going to make a major difference because most of our loans aren't becoming cash in any 1 year. So very little of our FX is real, i.e. realized loss, it's real cash. Most of it is unrealized. The vast majority.
So the debt 50-50 euro US dollar in terms of percentage as a policy will be kept?
Well, I wouldn't say policy. It was what we were aiming for. We're always saying we're looking at things. We may look at now we can get some long-term euro loans if we can get it at reasonable rates and differential amount is not too bad. We'll look at it. I'm sure people would say, well, just wait, aren't the euro dollar extremely strong at the moment? Why don't you keep taking new loans out in then? At the end, it depends when we need loans. At the moment, we don't really need any new loans, so there's not any reason to change. But, you know, we went dollar-euro because, as a good economist rule, dollar and euro don't move together. This year, they did. You know, it's one of those tsunami years this year for FX, for lira.
Mm-hmm. And if I ask a last question, is there, you know, with the depreciation of the lira, you know, these handsets, network equipment, ITs, and international traffic are basically denominated in dollar and euro. So should we expect basically direct cost of revenues or commercial expenses to increase considerably because of the FX?
Commercial expenses won't, because all our commercial expenses are in lira base. There are, through the international, our international revenue, a large part of that is Pantel, which is euro-based company, so their expenses and revenue are there. And so we get revenue growth from that. We also get an expense growth from that side. But the vast majority of our revenue and expenses are lira-based.
So in terms of the handsets in, or IT equipment or telecoms equipment, yeah, you do not see impact from the FX?
Well, the CapEx, no, there's no doubt. Any CapEx investment we're making where we're buying in dollar, most of them in dollar, not euro, even if you buy in Europe or from Europe, you definitely get a hit because when you buy them, the cost in lira terms goes up over time. It's up for the business to manage it and try and make sure the lira CapEx doesn't change that much. But, you know, it will sometimes.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Roshan Ranjit from Citigroup. Please go ahead with your question.
Just a quick comment about the last question. And sometimes, I don't want to say most of the time, but sometimes you're able to deal with that with the on the CapEx side. You're able to deal with that with the suppliers because they see what's happening and usually they get the pressures from the operators. It's the one on the debt side, the debt financing. That's the one that really is more pertaining. Sorry, the next question, please.
All right, great, thank you. On the mobile side again, so data is starting to contribute to the strong top line growth which we've seen. What type of balance are you going to strike in terms of, obviously it's quite a sensitive competitive market in terms of trying to protect your margins whilst also driving the data growth with new promotions and potentially new bundles on the mobile side? And secondly, you said that you're looking to drive the household broadband penetration, currently around 35%. I think you stated long-term goal of around 60% is achievable. Do you think there is a risk that consumers go straight onto the mobile broadband, say, smartphone penetration is 10% at the moment? Do you think they just bypass the whole fixed avenue and you start growing your mobile broadband penetration whilst your household fixed penetration starts to stagnate? Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I guess there were a couple of questions in that one question, so I'll try to address them one by one. The first question was, about data revenues as a potential for growth revenues. I mean, we don't have a specific target in that sense. What we do is we looked at the data in terms of large screen, as you call them, dongles and embedded SIMs, and we also look at the small screen, which is the smartphones and feature phones that the data use that. And what we do is, on the large screen specifically, we work hand-in-hand, shoulder-to-shoulder with Türk Telekom and TTNet to make sure that as Türk Telekom grew, we benefit from that as much as possible. On the small screen, again, we work together with Türk Telekom as well on the TTNet mobile, but as well as on a standalone aware basis, we're pushing that forward. So we don't disclose specific targets, especially on a segmented basis on yet and the product basis for aware. But I must say that we've got stretch plans to grow our data business, mobile data business, going forward, and that's in line with the market.
Great.
The next question comes from the line of Daria Fomina from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, hi. Just one question. I want to ask what options you consider or you have to maintain, if you have to maintain the shareholder return, given that your pressure on earnings this couple of quarters, and just in the longer term, what options you consider?
Can you repeat the question, please?
The question was, what options do you consider if you are to maintain the shareholder return, given the pressure on earnings in the last couple of quarters, and just in the longer term, what options do you seriously consider if you are to maintain the shareholder return, as I said?
I think the most important thing for us, the priority, is shareholder value. That's and we're doing the best we can on the management side. We're growing the business as an incumbent, a fixed incumbent, one of the highest growth rates in the world, 9 to 10%. We are improving our absolute EBITDA and trying to change the structure of our customer relations where we want, more income away from the PSTN and get all of these new inputs. I think this is we are in control of, and the team is doing a good job focusing on that. For what is happening now, this is all paper. It's not realized, these losses, and we've gained before last year a little, and a few years back, considerable. So we don't know what's going to happen on the 31st of December with the exchange rates. And I don't want to repeat the reasons that David has said about the difference of interest rate between the hard currency and the lira. The lira was not available for more than a year, a long-term loan, until last year. all of these were reasons for what we are doing, I think, is less than. If we look at our debt portfolio, you will see that actually we could have been in a much more difficult situation if it was higher interest on the lira, even if it was available, and it wasn't. But that's the situation that we are in.
David, anything more that we can say? If there's anything.
I don't think you're talking about options. I think you talk about running the business well. I think the operating side of the business. I think even most of the analyst comments have been operating performance is extremely good. So I think the option is continue as is and continue showing the great operating performance. The funding is what it is, and over time has worked extremely well. We're going through a particularly bad patch on that, but you know, that's life. But long term, it's in the shareholders' interest to keep doing it, and it will enhance shareholder value over time.
But is buyback, for example, one of the is something you might consider, or it's not an option for you?
Buybacks has now been, it's part of the new commercial code that comes in next year, which allows up to 10% of a company's stock to be bought back off the market. But there are also small prints about limitations of how much you can buy back a day, which becomes a fairly restrictive issue. I suppose in terms of our stock, the other problem is our free float is only around 12-13%, which means it's quite limited. So I think that's where we are. Longer term, yes, we could, but you know, we've always discussed that. We've always said we have to work within the rules of Turkey. Turkish rules are dividends as per net income. There's a new rule that says buybacks are potentially there, but the small print around it limits the practicality for a company like Türk Telekom.
That's clear. Thank you so much.
The next question comes from the line of Polina Ugrumova from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hello, this is Polina Grumo from Morgan Stanley. I have a question on your PSTN revenue. It looks like you have managed to stabilize the decline in this revenue in the second half of the last year, and then it was quite good revenue dynamics in Q1. In Q3, however, we saw a decline already of minus 3%. Now this decline accelerated to minus 5%. And I also, looking at the quarter-on-quarter dynamics on the absolute basis, this revenue is declining. I understand this is not a growing business, but could you please indicate us what we should expect in terms of the further dynamics? Is this a kind of a stabilization or a further decline from the current levels? Thank you.
Okay, this is Eren Demirjan again. Thank you for the question. When you look at PSTN, three parameters are critical for us. One is revenue, the other one is MOU, and the number of subscribers. We are following the business in that sense. Now, in 2010, as you correctly said, we stabilized the revenues, and in the first quarter of this year, it was even increasing revenue compared to last year. But still, the revenue is on over 1 billion lira, which is good for us, and we have to consider summertime, where people are out of their homes, plus this year, Ramadan period, and also a 10-day holiday was in this period as well in August. So what we did is we followed the traffic very closely if people still have relevance to PSTN or not, and we followed it in August, we followed in September, and we still continue to follow in October, because the initiatives, we still have in our hands a lot of initiatives that we can launch on PSTN business, but we don't want to spend them like Hakan Bey says. We are smart in that kind of area. We don't want to spend them ahead of the real risks. So for this reason, at the moment, we have seen that in revenue, we are in good shape. In MOU, after August, the traffic increased in September, and traffic further increased in October. That shows that people are still relevant to the product itself. And when we look at the number of subscribers, actually, we have to consider this year compared to last year, there's a major change, which is Make Up DSL. So we have to include the naked DSL numbers as well, which is under 60,000 by the end of quarter three. So when we look at all those parameters, we are following the PSTN business very closely, and we know that we can turn around PSTN business, which we did in 2010. We have the initiatives in our hand, but we don't want to spend them, as I said, ahead of the risks. At the moment, MOE seems good. Revenue is, as you see in the numbers. Number of subscribers in Make Up DSL in parallel to our expectations.
If we see any risk, we'll start implementing some of the initiatives that are in our hand at the moment.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Thank you very much. This is helpful. Can I also ask if this effect of Ramadan and holiday in Q3 has significantly impacted your revenue?
Rather than the revenue, because actually we have 70% of our revenue from flat fees. Rather than the revenue, MOU was affected by this. We had a very low MOU, a little bit less than 100 minutes in Ramadan period in August, and 10 days, of course, all the businesses were closed. But as I said, now MOU is coming back in September, and October is even higher than September.
So would it be correct to expect quarter-on-quarter increase in this revenue in Q4?
We will see at the end of the quarter.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We appear to have no further questions at this time, so I'll hand the conference back to you.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today, and I'd just like to highlight that if you have any follow-up questions after the call, our investor relations team is open 24/7. Thank you, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.